When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Working Overtime, the advice-focused hooch to regular old workings turner. I'm Isaac Butler.
And I'm Karen Hahn.
Karen, how the hell have you been?
So good. I always feel like I only remember that I should be making like some kind of metaphor or comparison about working overtime reworking, like until we record. And then I'm like, I should have come up with something smarter, maybe? Because I feel like I always use just the default option, but...
Right. I just come up with, it's like the first pairing that comes to my head is the one I write down usually, which this time was Turner and Hooch, which is, you know, a really up-to-date reference that I'm sure all the kids will get because, you know.
I mean, I get it, so.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, what are we talking about today?
Today, I thought maybe we might talk about like recharging in between big projects and like what you do when you finish a big project, because I feel like I'm still kind of in the middle of that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you are now done with at least the writing parts of your book, like your book is finished. So you've just finished a big project, right?
Yeah. If we just met on the street earlier today and you'd been like, oh, you just finished a big project, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But luckily you have contextualized it. So yes, I have finished writing my book.
That's amazing. And so let me just ask, day of, when you were done working on it, when you hit send that final time, did you do anything to celebrate?
Honestly, not really, because it's been such a protracted process to quote unquote finish this book. I actually finished like writing the text that I had to turn in, I think a couple months ago. But because there's been rounds of proofing after that, which is like when everyone goes through the text and finds like final things that you want to fix, it hasn't felt like it's been done yet. And then I had to find somebody to write the foreword for the book, which was its own kind of insane process. But now the foreword is in. It came in yesterday. So now, now I'm done with that. But that is all to say, this process has stretched out so much that it doesn't really feel like I've ever been done with it. And it almost doesn't feel like I'm done with it now either. That said, my birthday fell right after I think I turned in like the final text that I had to write, pre-proofing. And then my partner and I went to Disneyland and then to Big Bear for a week, which was really nice. But again, it has not felt like it has stopped being a giant cloud above me.
I also think that it's a weird thing. It's one of the things that I struggle with and that my wife is always trying to get me to do is to like recognize that you've accomplished something. I don't know. Do you ever feel this? Because there's so many deadlines, you know, that it's just like even having or owning for a moment that it's like, yeah, I actually did something. Yeah, I actually accomplished it. Yeah, actually, the book is done or whatever. It can be a challenge sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I would say like I like finding reasons to go out and like have a nice meal. So maybe it's easier for me to do that. But it doesn't necessarily tie as neatly as we've sort of discussed with the feeling of like being done with something. Like you can put it on a deadline, for instance, like going out to dinner when you finish all your text or whatever. But again, like just because of the nature of the process, it takes a long time to actually let go of stuff.
Right. And of course, if you reward yourself with Elden Ring, then you'll have like 200 hours before you are free to do anything else.
Yeah, video games are tough to work into. Like, you have to really structure your time well. Because otherwise, then it's only Elden Ring for the next, like, 3 months.
Yes, exactly. So, look, I'm not only interested in talking about going out to dinner or whatever, or playing Elden Ring, although we could talk about playing Elden Ring, as I know we both spent a few months completely obsessed with it, but also actually about that moment in between projects where you've got to recuperate, recharge your creative muscles and how you do that. We'll have more on that after this.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, listeners, we want to hear from you. If you have a creative triumph or a creative question, a guest you'd like to hear from, a kind of artist you'd like us to cover, really anything you want us to talk about on this show, please drop us a line at working@slate.com or give us a call and leave a voicemail at 304-933-9675. That's 304-933-WORK. All right, back to the show. Okay, we are back. Karen, as mentioned previously, you've recently finished a big project. Do you have plans to regenerate, to recuperate, to re-engage those creative muscles?
I really want to, but the tough thing is that I think if, and this comes up on the show a lot, if you're not in a position where you have cash to just burn, you kind of have to keep working. Like there's not as much of a window to take a break. That said, I've been really lucky to be able to sort of ease back into things and take longer breaks throughout the day. And I also feel like the aforementioned trip that I took with my partner kind of served as my like vacation, even though I wasn't totally done with the book yet, because that was definitely a week where I just wasn't thinking about everything. It's like, what ride am I going to go on next? Or like, what am I going to make in this cabin in Big Bear? But it also helps that the stuff that I'm jumping into now is screenwriting rather than book writing. So it feels like I'm using a different set of muscles, or it feels exciting or creatively exciting in a different way.
I do think that's smart, that it's like one way that you can recharge is actually just jumping into a different form of creative work that's using different creative muscles, that requires different things from you. I think both you and I like to wear a lot of hats, and so that can be kind of easier for us to move between these different things. You know, every time a show of mine that I directed would open, I would get this like weird postpartum depression. Like there would be a week or two, because for directors, when the show opens, the job is done.
Yeah.
Not when the show closes. And so there would just be like a week or two where I like really couldn't think straight, or like whatever my creative time was that I sat aside, I just sit there and stare at the wall or play video games. You know, you end up in that weird place that's sort of both boring and depressing at the same time. And I get sort of angry at myself. And I have noticed, though, that that is not limited to theater people, that people in all sorts of creative fields feel that when they kind of get over that last hump, or, you know, that post-show depression feeling. And I was just wondering if that's something that you experience.
Weirdly for me, I feel like it's less depression and more anxiety, which I don't think I'm going to stop feeling. Just speaking from my personal experience working on this book, I don't think I'm going to stop feeling that until the book is actually out and a few people have said nice things about it. Because until that point, it's like, oh, it's like bullshit. It's just shit. It's just, I've done a huge mistake. I've really messed up. But I really think until that point, I'm not going to feel like totally free or totally not worried about it.
I'll tell you, you know, that's very common too. From the moment I got the first pass proof pages, which for our listeners who don't know, before a book comes out for real, it comes out in this form called galleys, which are sent to people in the industry and reviewers and stuff like that. And you can still make changes to the book at that point. In fact, the book is not fully fact checked or proofread at that point usually. And so from the moment I got the PDF with those pages to start making those final changes and everything until about a month after the book came out, maybe, I don't know. Aww. Like I was having panic attacks. I mean, not really panic attacks, but I was so anxious. I had trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
I, you know, my heart rate was elevated all the time. I like, you know, it was, it's a really, really hard time. So I definitely,
it sucks. Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks. It's really weird. You've done this thing. All the choices are locked in.
Yeah.
And there's no impartial person to tell you whether, you know, it works or not. Mm-hmm. So how are you dealing with it? And do you have any advice for other people on how to deal with it?
No. I mean, I really think like the only thing that you can do to get over it is like do something else. Like again, yeah. This is sort of what we've already discussed in the episode, but it's like take a vacation where you unplug and don't think about this stuff at all, or find something else that you can work on that is that you're really excited about that'll occupy the brain space that you would be using to worry otherwise, so that you're not thinking about that past project. But it is really hard to let go of that feeling, and sometimes you just have to wait for it to like blow over.
Well, especially since, you know, I think in both of our cases, like the book was somewhat all consuming for the last few months of putting it together. I mean, you left Slate in part to have the free time to, you know, finish the book. I stopped freelancing for almost a year to finish the method, you know, so it was basically just the book and working and a little teaching. That was all I was doing, you know? And so it just, it occupies such a space in your brain that then when it moves out, it's like all your fears move in or something. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for me, one thing that I think often helps with this stuff is just like reminding yourself that you love culture. And that's one of the reasons why you want to make art. You know, it's like going to movies or plays, reading books, playing video games, watching TV, whatever. I mean, going to museums, and for me, it's like I have to remind myself, you're not going to write about this. Like, don't book a job to review this stuff. Just go out and enjoy it as a civilian again and remind yourself what it's like to like experience art instead of wanting to write about it. You know what I mean?
It is really refreshing to be able to turn off that part of your brain, even though it also is very hard to do that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we have a lot more to say about this, I know. So let's take a quick break and then we'll get right back to it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Karen, I feel like there's a weird loop I get into. I don't know if you do or not, but it's like during these periods where I need to recharge and I'm not at my most productive or creative, I then start beating myself up for like, you're wasting your time. You've only got one precious life. How are you going to have a nice shelf worth of books with your name on the spines if you're not working every second? And I know on some cognitive level that's silly because you need those intermissions. You need those moments to rebuild so that you can then do another big project and really be at your best for it. But there's a weird thing. It's like the fact that I miss having a big project turns into being angry at myself that I don't or something. I'm crazy, right?
No, I honestly think you're totally right because I think I get the same way. But I think really big thing to remember is that it's not totally up to you. Like working on a book without knowing that it's going to get published is like just screaming into a void for at least a couple of years. And then like writing a script for a movie or a TV show in no way guarantees that it's going to get made or even like read by anybody. You can really just only do your best in those instances. So you have to remember like the end result that you want, even that is not totally within your control. So the fact that you're constantly working doesn't even mean that you're going to have the end goal that you want. So with that in mind, it's good to take care of yourself first.
Totally. You know, that's funny, Karen, because I'm glad to hear you say that, because I consider you much more well-adjusted than I am. So the fact that you also have this anxiety is of great comfort.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about this so much on the show, but again, I feel like if you don't have security, or like just total job security in which you would never worry about money in your life, it is impossible not to worry about this stuff, not just from like an ambition level where it's like, I want to accomplish this stuff, but from a just life and financial level.
Right. I mean, I think the solution here, therefore, is for you and I to commit a series of high stakes crimes.
Yes, absolutely.
And then we'll have like an unlimited cash flow. And then we won't have to worry, and we can just create whatever we want to create. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we'll get really into crypto.
Get really into crypto. Yes, I think that's very healthy. I think crypto's a space where nothing to go but up.
Exactly. Nobody is stealing anything.
Exactly.
In crypto, it's not a fake economy at all.
It's not a fake economy at all. Exactly. I agree. You know, we talked before about, you know, one of the ways to creatively recharge is just to enjoy more of other people's creativity. For me, it always has to involve leaving the house. It always has to be like going to a movie theater, going to a museum. There's something about the physical act, probably because I work from home, of leaving the home that makes it feel more recharging. But you know, there's another thing that I think we don't talk about enough on this show, which is recharging or reinvesting in your personal relationships that aren't work relationships. Because I don't know about you, but you know, it's not like I was hanging out with friends a lot during the last year of writing the book, in part because of the pandemic, but in part because I was just writing the book all the time. So do you, as you look to the months ahead, are you like, this is a period where I'm going to sort of reinvest in those social relationships, spend more time with people, you know, or whatever?
Not so explicitly, but I definitely like will be aware of like what friends I haven't seen for a longer amount of time and try to put out the feelers and be like, hey, like I haven't seen you in a while, like would love to hang out again, let's do something soon. And part of that is just like a normal part of maintaining relationships with people, even outside of how that relates to your work.
Totally.
But then that is also honestly like part of taking care of yourself, especially if you know that like part of what is going to make you feel better or feel more recharged is hanging out with someone and just doing something else for a little while. For instance, like I also feel like I have a good handle on how like introverted slash extroverted I am, where it's like I would like to hang out with people like one or two times a week, but hanging out with someone every night of the week is way, way, way too much for me.
Right.
So it's just taking care of yourself in that same way.
And do you have regular things? Like I built some regular things during the pandemic because it's like, you know, when I was living in my mother-in-law's place in rural Virginia and not physically seeing another human being outside of my family. Right. I was like, I like had a book club, We're still going. We actually pre-existed the pandemic, but like I started over Zoom playing Monster of the Week with some friends,
nice.
You know, just so that like, you know, just to have like, you know, like a little role playing game time.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, I just had to build things to keep myself rooted in human beings beyond me and all these dead people I was writing a book about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been tough to sort of get back into that after moving, like because the main things that I had in New York were like my D&D group, probably like that was the main thing that was like sort of on the calendar all the time. But that died because I moved and everyone else is still in New York. So
you can't do it over Zoom. You can't Zoom in.
We could, but I think the scheduling is a little more complicated now that there's a 3-hour time difference.
Oh, right. Also, we all know how much you cheat. And so you'd be like,
I rolled a 20.
I rolled a 20. Critical damage.
I'm the group healer, so I actually didn't really do very much damage.
Oh, right. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. If you enjoy what we do on Working, please make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Big thanks to our Working Overtime producer, Kevin Bendis, and our supervising producer, Cameron Drews. We'll be back with the regular show on Sundays, and in another 2 weeks, we'll have a new episode of Working Overtime. Until then, get back to work or take a break.
Hey, Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.